again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Canadian Will Alexander.
Yes, you are, William. And we're going to talk about judges as it applies to a new AKC rule allowing for foreign judges. Also, the travel that judges endure going every weekend to do what we love doing. Specialties, who should judge them? How often? A good book review, a little talk about handling class, and a walk down memory lane. All that and more on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh.
Yellow hills. Well, good morning, young William. How the heck are you, buddy? It's been at least 6-7 days.
It has been. And you know what? I'm tired this morning, Wayner.
Well, I worry about you, bud. You came down with the big
COVID. I got tested positive for the COVID.
I don't know. It's just, it's not funny. You know, we have nicknames for it, like it's cute. Man, you were sick, bud, and I was worried about you. And it's one of those things that stops life, not just for you, for those around you.
Oh, for sure. I started feeling better as the weekend progressed, and I ended up testing negative on what day is it? On Tuesday, tested negative. And then I thought, oh, well, I'll go get grocery shopping done now and do some stuff. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
I felt my legs walking around the grocery store. I felt like Justin Hall trying to skate in the defensive zone of the Maple Leafs. I felt like a cement boots.
Yeah.
Sorry, Justin, but it's been a rough week, man.
Pylon. Yeah. No, it's and I still, you know, I'm still struggling with energy and just some things like that. But it takes a while, bud. I wish you the best. I know you'll get there.
I'm on the mend now, but I can still feel it.
You know. Well, you're young William. Young William, he can, you know, he can march through any, he can conquer any country.
Yeah.
Including the country of COVID.
Put me in, coach.
Put me in. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're back. I'm a little verklempt myself.
You had a quick travel route this week. So you must be exhausted.
Yeah, and that's all it is, you know, I hope, because everybody around me is really sick. But hats off to the judges who go out every weekend, because I just can't, and I'm in pretty good shape. It's just so hard on me mentally and physically. And a lot of it is just still catching up on this long haul crap. But, you know, I flew down. Well, the flights from Kalamazoo are usually great and inexpensive, and you pull right up to the gate. It's such a great airport. But sometimes I've got to go out of Grand Rapids, which is an hour north of here. And if my flight is at 4:30 in the morning, which is the only flight I could get, because the flights are all so full and the crews are so short, that I have to drive up the night before, stay right at the airport hotel, and get up at 3 in the morning to get to the airport at 3:45 for the 4:30 flight. And then you have a 3-hour connection somewhere where you sit in Never Never Land, can't quite do anything to rest or move forward. And then, you know, you're off on your next part, and you drive around there, do what you do, drive back, and I'm leaving again tonight to go up to a hotel at Grand Rapids Airport, because, again, I can't get a flight out of Kalamazoo. I don't want to charge a club from flying out of my home airport if I can save them $300 by driving north.
Yeah.
However, there's a toll on the body, and there's a toll on the family. You know, I'm away from home another night. I feel sorry for the clubs, but I hope the exhibitors understand how much energy and time and money we put into travel.
Well, and that's exhausting. We were talking about the other judges that do this almost every weekend. I think they get themselves conditioned to it. It becomes just second nature. I'm sure they get as tired as we do, but they've conditioned themselves to the travel. Cause I think back when I showed dogs every weekend, I thought nothing of, you know, 4:00, get up, get going. I could, I show dogs now, not as much, my own dogs, but I find myself dragging. I'll be checking the schedule and thanking the Lord when Irish setters are in 11 o'clock.
Yes. Well, you know, I talked to a lot of the judges, good friends of both of ours, who judge almost every weekend, and they're all saying they have to cut back. It used to be easy to travel every weekend. It's just not anymore. If I could drive 10 minutes to Kalamazoo Airport, it's a great little airport. I can connect in Minneapolis, Detroit, Chicago. I can go anywhere from there. And there's no stress. There's no lines here at Kalamazoo for TSA and all that. So that used to be no problem. But when you add all the layers now, and I just did the Clear thing, you know, the new Clear access thing.
No, I don't know what that is.
I was on the TSA pre-check line because I'm a, you know, I have my KTN, my known traveler number. Well worth it if you're flying anywhere.
Is that like a Nexus card?
It must be, because you go for the little FBI background check.
Yeah, our Nexus card.
Yeah, and that allows you to go on the TSA pre-check line at the airports. But even that line is getting longer now. So I was on a flight from Newark a couple weekends, judging out there. And there was an hour and a half line to get through security. Well, again, how do you figure when you have to leave the hotel or the show or whatever? So this Clear, they sign you right up the airport. They scan your eyes. So they do iris identification. So when you get to the airport, instead of presenting your license and doing all that, you just go stick your eyes in this thing and it scans your eyes and then you go.
Oh, no, that's another chip. Is this Bill Gates? No, no, leave it alone.
I think it's Russians. I'm pretty sure. What it's doing is it scans your irises and votes for you for the party that... If you have blue eyes, you get... If you get red eyes, you get... It's all stolen. It's a conspiracy, Will, everything. Anyway, but that's how you get through Clear. And... that helps again. It shortens line a little bit, but you know, and then you get to the, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying this is what we signed up for, but it's not easy to go every weekend. Right. And I'm hearing more and more judges say they're just going to cut back and not do every weekend or, you know, one or two weekends a month, maybe. And, you know, the thing is you're so energized because you love, I love doing this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to judge Silk and Windhounds tomorrow and I can't wait. And I'm also doing some other breeds while I'm out there for them, other sighthounds. But I'm thrilled to be with these people and be with these dogs. So you put up with it. You just have to pace yourself because the toll on the body, the toll on the brain, you know, you just have to pace yourself. So I hope that we're not seeing the judges, the people saying are cranky in the ring or are not very pleasant. Maybe they're just damn tired.
Tired, yeah. So,
and maybe it's time we... Well, again, Will, if there weren't too many damn shows, we need to be doing this.
See how we came around full circle right back.
Yeah.
I
have a two-part series coming up. I hadn't written about too many shows since 2019, by the way. I was surprised. I thought I'd written about it in between. So I did a two-part series for the Chronicle. And that first part will be this week, which is more about... champions, making of champions. And then next month will be the ripple effect, what happens to many sidebars and key parts of our... If I curse, I believe I might have. Sorry, very sorry. And it's early in the morning. And Doc, I hope, catches it. We'll have to mark it. Anyway, that's how passionate am I? That's how passionate about this I am, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. Anyway, on the good note, while I was down visiting Brody recently, I attended the handling class that he goes to. I have to say, Will, it was a bit emotional for me because I'd not been to a handling class with my son. And it was a 45-minute drive for him to go after work. That's what my dad did for me.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 8 years old, 9 years old, he'd rush home from work. We load up the Studebaker station wagon and we go to Union, New Jersey for handling class. We did it every Tuesday night. And it really brought back so many memories. By the way, you know who was in my handling class? This is a small handling class in Union, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You remember Bethany Hall? Bethany Hall Mason?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Marsha Hall?
Yep, yep, for sure. Yep.
Ron Rella, who worked with me at the AKC. Michael Work. Jennifer Sheldon, Afghan Pete. Bill Barton, the great Basset Hound guy. This was an all-star. I don't know if there'll ever be another class randomly thrown together that ended up staying in dogs their entire lives.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. My dad taught, and Bill Barton taught, and some others. Oh, God, there was another guy who showed Weimaraners. There was Ray Curry, the boxer guy. We had all kinds of people that would come. Really, really cool. But to watch him in the handling class, it was pretty cool. Now, we had a VFW hall with a concrete floor. We had to slide the tables back when I was a kid. Where Brody goes, it's a training center. There's a rubber floor. There are mirrors on the walls all the way around. So when you're showing your dog, you're constantly seeing what you're looking like. That is so important. Yeah, one mirror. Mirrors all around, so you can see every angle where the judge is looking from. When you can move them, you can see yourself in the mirror. I think they should have a black part for eyes up so you have to see your face because it looks horrible when you're running around doing that. But I sat and watched. I couldn't do anything. I would have loved to have helped, but there is a moratorium on such things for judges. There's a time period. I believe it's 4 months, but whatever it was, I didn't want to push it. And I guess that's the way it should be, but you're dying. Yeah. You're dying to help. You know?
Well, I run classes, and that's what I do. I tell them all when they come into my class, and I believe Oxford Dog Sports has them sign a waiver that they just can't show to me within 4 months of my class. So
Right. I was dying to jump over the little wall and grab a couple dogs and say, no, do it this way. but yeah, you have to resist. But I met so many cool people, really diehard old-timers that are training. They're good ones. And brand new ones. And there was a silken Windham. How cool is that?
Yeah.
How cool is that? Yeah, it's her first dog
ever. Up everywhere.
Yep. It was her first dog ever. It was so smart and so cute. And of course, I talked to her about recall. And she said, yeah, mine recalls. They all do. I just don't. These people have created a sighthound that comes when you call it. That's all you need to know. That alone should get them in the registry. That alone, not to mention the fact that I'm doing a regional specialty this weekend in California, and I'll have well over 100. So I just, you know, how many of the new breeds we brought in, the new 52 breeds that we brought in the last 20 years, I wonder how many of them have 100 at their regional.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. Anyway, enough of that. Sure love that breed though. So we did get an email, Will.
Yeah,
we got a lot, but this one stood out. The only issue is I'm not quite sure which way this question can go as far as the key topic.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, "Hi, Will and Wayne. I was curious to hear your thoughts.
Didn't it start with how much I love you show and you guys are the greatest?
Yeah. I skipped over that part.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I was curious to hear your thoughts on the show regarding moratoriums for parent club bench events. These may be limited to national specialties, regional specialties, and or futurity, maturity, or another special breeder bred by exclusive events that the membership votes on." This was all in brackets, and because that's what the membership votes on. So she's asking our thoughts on national specialties, maturities that the members vote on. Do you think there should be a minimum is X amount of years too short? Is X amount of years too long? Should they be once in a lifetime or should this be a once in a lifetime opportunity and then no longer eligible? Your thoughts. Thank you, Melissa.
Well, thanks, Melissa. The word judging is not in there.
Right.
But I'm assuming that's it.
That's what my guess is too, is that she's asking how many times a judge can judge these events.
that makes sense to me in that context, because I also read it before as how many of these you can have in a year.
Because they have meant that too. So maybe we need to answer both the questions.
Yeah. I think during COVID, there was some exceptions made, and there were two national specialties the same year to catch up during COVID. We're still during COVID.
Yeah.
But during the worst parts, there were clubs that had two nationals in one year. I guess you had to do what you had to do. But boy, I sure wouldn't like that to be a habit, because wouldn't you want to be the national winner for at least a year? Yeah. You know, it's bad enough you're a best in show winner for 6 hours until at the same show another dog is the best dog for 6 hours on those 2 days. But I think if that was the angle, one's plenty. But I think where she's going is judges, right?
It would be my guess as well.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Will?
I've had the honor to judge the Irish International a couple years ago.
As a non-judge. Right.
But I guess that day I was a judge. Do I ever want to not? Do I look forward to judging it again? I definitely do. But I don't think I should judge it within at least 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know what. It's a hard call. What do you think?
Well, there's so many ways to look at it. The rule where you were able to judge the Irish Setter National without being licensed yet for them is a great rule. But it was intended for people like you and David Fitzpatrick and Bill McFadden. It was intended for people who are really super uber qualified and have the practical experience of running a ring, because you're going to get a giant entry. And even if you're a breed expert, you're likely to get lost. It's not easy to sort out hundreds of dogs. 80 dogs isn't easy. I found that when I came back after being off those couple of years and I had my first big entry, I had to really focus. It's a mental process that takes time to excel. But I'm all for that rule when used judiciously. So you have that option, right? You have that option to use people that aren't licensed yet. Just think hard about who it is and if they have the experience running a ring and can handle the pressure and the size of the numbers. So that gives you an extra layer of judges to pick from, right? Then you have a whole lot of judges that are dying to do a national and are licensed for your breed. It shouldn't be so hard to fill that slot. Mike Billings, Andy Clark, those people, Janie, they'd get invited twice, but with a long distance in between.
Right.
I think you have to be the real cream of the crop. And I also think that while we use breeder judges for specialties, which obviously I'm in favor of, I think you need to throw the all-arounder in once in a while. I think you need to throw in the judge who has judged the breed for a long time, but you wouldn't necessarily think of as a Afghan person or a Panamanian person. Because if they're real good judges and they'd have to have that solid reputation behind them, they're going to judge the whole dog more likely.
Right.
And I don't mean to say you can't do it if you're a breeder judge. You certainly can. But it's a different angle. It's a different look.
Different way of looking at things. It really is. You know, when you're not, I don't want to say emotionally involved, but you are emotionally involved. So it's a different way of looking at that overall animal. So
I'm going to know everyone. I have a couple specialties coming up, nationals, in three breeds that I'm going to be able to guess all the pedigrees.
Yeah. You'll know all the families, and
doesn't matter who shows.
Tend to know that all right away. So
yeah, I'm going to be told this. I'm going to be able to tell who the sire is, and probably 25% of the entries, no matter who's showing them. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that could be interesting. But I'm just saying that to break it up once in a while isn't a bad idea, and it expands your pool of judges. So yes, let's have breeder judges. Don't be afraid to throw in the one who's not necessarily a breeder judge, but knows the breed. That's a pretty good sized gene pool, pretty good sized judging pool to pick from. So I just don't need to see. I don't see the necessity to have someone come back more than 15, 20 years or whatever it might be. I don't know. The number's arbitrary as every number is. Is it 10? Is it 15? Is it 20? I don't know. I do know one thing. There's plenty of people that are dying to do them or qualified to do them who we don't think of.
Well, for sure.
And those are, you know, but we get into club politics too. That's just natural.
For sure. Human nature.
Yeah. We're humans. Is there a way that you can, this could get complicated. I'm thinking this as it's coming into my head. So I certainly haven't pre-thought this one. What if clubs that think they're having a shortage, or what if there's a way that if you're a judge and you've had so many years experience or whatever, well, even if you haven't, if you're licensed for that breed, that you can throw your hat in the ring. So you'd have, would they have 500 applicants? Probably. Yeah. But maybe there's a way that if you thought you were special enough, you could write the club and say, please put my name on the list of nominees for the first round or something. I don't know, something to let the clubs know, hey, I'm out here. You maybe forgot about me, but I am out here. And I've been involved in your breed for 40 years.
When you look at it that way, that's a good angle, because out of sight, out of mind sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want Ken McDermott to do their terrier specialty?
Well, exactly.
You know? And
who
maybe
wouldn't want Ken McDermott to do anything for them?
That's true.
Any he could breed. Be on this show with us.
And by the way, I'm serious, Ken, any breed. I think that would be a great angle for any breed, because he has such a great scope of knowledge. There are people like that out there, but they're not out there every weekend, so you don't think of them.
Right.
And, you know, those are things that you have to, I mean, Bonnie Threlfall has bred and shown so many breeds, and she's a great dog judge. And there's so many more out there. I don't want to pick on just Bonnie, but who would think of Bonnie for, say, oh, and then here's another one. Ken Murray, his judge, has probably shown more best in show winners and specialty winners in all the setter breeds, except Irish Red and Whites, they weren't around, in Irish, English, and Gordons. And just because maybe he beat them all too often, I don't know, why wouldn't Ken be invited to a setter specialty? It's just he's not showing them anymore. He's not in the ring with Irish setters anymore. You don't think of him in that order because he's shown so many other breeds. But there's so many judges like that. It's probably unfair to throw a couple names out, but I just mean there are plenty of people like that that are not going to lobby for it and should be considered when I just don't think you need to repeat.
No. Back to the question, I think 10 years is probably enough time.
Yeah.
So maybe they should be 10 years between national assignments for the same breed. I don't know.
I'd even go 15.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons is, yes, you were great. You were wonderful. You were among the best judges we ever had. Thank you so much. That was terrific. We already know what you're looking for. Do we want to know about it again? And without waiting?
Maybe you know, in 10 years.
Remind me in 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, whatever it might be.
A whole new crop of dogs and animals and people show up.
I think diversity in our gene pool is essential. Diversity in our judging opinions is also essential.
For sure.
So let's have different opinions every year.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Because as of yesterday, I believe, foreign judges are now allowed. Let me look at this. I don't want to get it wrong here. Hang on. increase the number of days foreign judges may be employed as a judge at AKC sanctioned all breed or limited breed shows from 8 to 16. So that means that we foreign judges can now judge 16 events in America, all breed events, instead of 8. We can judge unlimited specialties, but all breed shows and limit and yeah, that's how it goes. So to make sure they don't want to screw it up. Yeah, so they can judge. We can now foreign judges can now judge 16 days in America.
Effective when?
I think yesterday.
Wow. So if I move to Canada, I'm probably can get licensed quicker. Move up there, get a couple of groups, and start judging down here almost every weekend. I like it.
Well, we'd be glad to have you up here. You know,
I'd be glad to be there. I think it's a great change. And again, there are a whole bunch of Canadian judges who can do your nationals, and you might not be thinking of them. And that might be, that's another good answer, Will, because you're not tied into that local breeding pool. You don't know all the dogs that have been winning every weekend and all the people, right? But you're still involved in that breed. If you're a Bouvier expert from Canada, well, that just happened actually, but.
Yeah, Bouvier National.
Yeah. But there are other, you know, plenty of other people that you might not be thinking of from Canada. And with that opening up, that gives you opportunities to have more judges to think of, to consider when you're selecting your national judges.
Opens up the gene pool, as you said.
It does. It yeah. does. It's up the gene pool for breeding and for judging. Anyway, and by the way, those judges who, you know, who I'm saying, this is not to say that those judges that are that, how do I put this? I don't think the complaint is initiated because the judge did a bad job. Like I said, they could be the best they ever had. That's not the point. The point is
objective in anybody's eyes anyways. That doesn't matter.
Yeah, you need different opinions. That's my point.
Yeah.
And especially with nationals, that's where you're really, I hope, sorting breeding stock. And there's not one way to do it. So,
and let's face it, at our age, 10 years is nothing now. Because I think, oh my God, that's yesterday. Like, mm-hmm. like Green Day is still a new band to me.
I understand.
You know what I mean? So, yep. Like, if let's throw a name like Joe Fagel judged the national, especially. In 19, whatever. I said, didn't we just have him? Even though it was 10 years apart. It would be that way in my head.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Someone asked
Joe Fagel. That's why I brought his name up.
Me too. Someone once asked me just recently this week, because of the thing that's going on with a dog, a good thing, a happy thing, how long I've known Tom Bradley. Well, geez, I just thought, oh, you know, long time. Over a half a century, Will.
Yeah.
Over a half a century. We bred dogs together in the 80s. Yikes.
No, and see, to me, the 80s didn't seem that long ago.
Right.
It's right. Crazy. Like, that brings up another topic. Today is October 20th. I don't know what day you guys will be listening to this, but today is October 20th. That is the birthday of my first boss, Gary McDonald, who passed away in 1986 of the same month, October. Yeah. Passed away before his birthday. He would have been 80 today. And I that's unfathomable for me to think of, because Gary was this figure in my life, and I still think of him probably once a month, I think of Gary. And to think that he's 80 years old today, I still see the same Gary in my head. But it's been 36 years.
Wow.
It doesn't even seem that long. It's crazy. It's amazing how time changes as you get older.
So waiting 15 years to judge again is not the end of the world, especially when there are people in line that would like to do it. And this is a question that came, I don't know what part of the country, I don't know what country, I don't know what breed.
This says Melissa, so I don't know.
Yeah. So it's out. I think I've heard more of this in the last couple of years, the last 3-4 years, I've been hearing more and more. So there you have it. Some thoughts, right or wrong. The bottom line, I think, in my part, my answer to this question is different opinions are a good thing. And we may need to think more about the different people that we have forgotten about, maybe at different countries, different breeds, right, different groups, that may be someone who would be good for your breed.
Let's look at it this way. Let's say Wayne Kavanaugh was judging Best in Show at Westminster this year, and then you were judging again in 6 or 7 years. People would be like, what? He just judged.
That's a good point. A very good point. Yeah, that's a real good point, Will. Well, you know, times change, and we have so many judges now because we have to. When you have 10 billion dog shows of 300 a weekend, yeah, you need to have a whole lot of dog judges. Everybody's a judge now. And it may be, I don't know, enough, because I'll go down that path.
It's never going to be enough. You know, we're going to touch on this pretty well every episode until somebody opens their eyes and sees what we're...
Well, the problem is, I got a wonderful email from someone I really, really respect, a great dog man and high profile person in the sport who knows exactly what they're talking about. And I don't think I've received 2 or 3 emails in my life from him, but he was all about how important it was that we keep hitting on it because of the things that it affects that we don't consider. Whenever we talk about too many shows, people just think, oh, it's just too many because there's too many. No, there's too many because it affects everything.
It does.
Judging panel, judges pools, judging approval process. It affects so many things. Judges education. It affects so many things. Point schedules, everything. It can go on forever. And I plan to not let it rest, at least to know that it's out there. So
that will be our mission.
That will be our mission, young William. Here's a change of topic. While you're driving to these shows and while you're in the grooming room, it's good to listen to stuff. Now, nothing's as good to listen to as the dog show driver. I think we all know that. I think every important person in the world, I understand that we have a lot of heads of countries, NASA. I know they're listening to it on the spaceship now, the space station, the dog show drive, because why else would you, but there are also things, there are other things. And if you're looking for a non-dog show thing to do, and I'm not kidding about this, we need to realize there's a world beyond dog shows. And reading good books, and if you're not a book reader, or listening to them on tape or watching the movie when it comes out, but if you haven't read Where the Crawdads Sing, you've just missed a great piece of literature. And it's also a pretty good film too. So if you want to get your mind off of the sport for a minute, because it will drive us crazy if we only focus on that, there's an old tip for you. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list for years, it seems, but such a great book. The movie just came out and I just saw it on one of my flights and I really enjoyed it. And I know Will's reading some good stuff these days. Eileen Hackett, by the way, one of my favorite people in this sport. And by the way, you want to make an exception and hire someone to judge? That's who you hire.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Any breed.
That would be fabulous to watch Eileen judge.
You know, this is a woman I've known all my life, it seems, certainly since I'm a young teenager. When Shalimar Duke, this is Eileen Hackett. We're going to start remembering to do last names. There was an Irish setter. He was registered as an English setter, but he looked like one to me from the West Coast called Geisendahl Shalimar Duke. And I don't say it to cast aspersions on him. I say that he looked so different than anything we'd seen on the East Coast. Anything. And Eileen, by the way, is a New Englander. So that's how we ran together. And when he came out to one of our specialties, half of us were aghast because he was a big winner in California. Half of us were aghast because we thought, what is this breed? We don't even know. It doesn't look anything like the East Coast English setters that had breed type and heads and bone and didn't look anything like that. He had a sloping top line and a narrow head with short ears and beady eyes. And I'm saying this only from the perspective of those who thought ours were the best, right?
Right.
So all of us just kind of like laughed and chuckled. That's when Eileen's spark went off. And she said, if I can get, we didn't have good fronts at all on the East Coast. We just didn't seem to mind. He had a good front and he had a good top line. We had a lot of saggy ones, but we had beautiful heads. Back then, Eileen decided, I'm going to take some of that Guys and Dolls stuff to get those fronts, and I'm going to fix those heads along the way and get some bone and body on them and make them English setters. That was 50 years ago. And she's done it over and over and over again. Her dedication to the sport has been unbelievable. And she might not physically be able to run around anymore with her knees and hips, as happens to all of us. But what a good dog eye right there. So put that on your calendar and smoke it. Now people are going to say, we have favorites. If you know me at all and I judge your dogs and you think you're my best friend, you're probably the last one that's going to win. No, those things never cross my mind, nor should they. And you know what's funny? People say, well, they won. They've known each other for 50 years. Doesn't work that way.
It really doesn't.
Not at all. They may know what to bring me.
And at most, they might get a second look. It doesn't mean they're winning. It means they might, because of our familiarity, you might garner a second look. Yeah. But I don't. So far in my judging career, no, it hasn't gone that way.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
We had a very close friend of mine judged recently. My son had a pointer. The pointer went best winner for major the second day. She had it, I think, second or third in her class. And everyone thought, oh, God, clearly, Paul and Wayne, I just heard her name. These people are great friends. And then we are. And guess what? It didn't bother me a bit. No. Not even a little bit. We talked about everything but after, because that's what it's all about. She didn't like what we brought her. That's fine. What is wrong with that?
Yeah.
And that's just the way it goes. And if you're looking for honest people who have integrity, you're going to win under your friends and lose under your friends. And I say win because some people are afraid to put up their friends because it'll look funny. Too bad. If they've got the best dog, they win.
Yeah.
Our goal is to be selfish, right? Well, in the ring.
That's one of the best lessons you've taught me, Wayne.
Yeah, it's true. You got to please yourself and yourself only. If you're worried about the crowd thinks, you're in the wrong sport. So the heck with you. We're doing what we feel is right. And that's what you should be paying for anyway. That's what you should be paying for. Our honest opinion. The only mistake you can make judging, Jim Edwards used to say, is to not give your honest opinion based on the knowledge that you have accumulated over the years. He's probably right.
Another good one. Yeah.
There's not one way to do it. Not one way to do it. What else you got, Will?
Oh, I don't know. It's been a rough week in the hockey world up here for us.
But, Maple Leafs, boy, a rough start.
I don't know. I'm sure you guys are all listening, and I just want a little more effort out of you guys. You know.
Right. Yeah, I know they all listen to the locker room right before the games. We are their inspirations, from what I understand.
I sure hope they're listening. You know, they played the Coyotes last week or this week, and the Coyotes are in the running for first pick overall next year, which means they're not the strongest team this year.
Yeah, they're not very good. They lost Oliver Ekman Larson and some of those great defensemen. That was just,
yeah, he's out right now too. He's hurt as well. You know, he's from Florida, and we looked at the Florida's defensive lineup without him is kind of slim as well. But our coach came on last week and said that the difference between Arizona and us is that we have elite players. And that's the truth. We do have elite players. And he said they didn't show up. And I have to, I hope you guys are all listening. I'm a huge supporter, but you have to show up, guys. You have to show up.
You have a stacked all-star line there.
Yeah.
Couple of them.
And I think they take teams for granted.
Yeah. Well, when they hired Matt Murray, all the goalie fans, you know, he's made out of glass, you know, he's going to break all the time. And yeah, I was prove him wrong. And sure enough, right off the bat, he
blew. Oh, my God. The day he got hurt, someone sent me, before it was announced that he got hurt, someone sent me this TikTok. It was a South Park kind of takeoff. Had Austin Matthews and Matt Murray. And the last thing, Matt Murray's got a cigar and he's smoking and he's all tough. He's here to save the day. And he falls off a chair. And the last thing you hear in the little video is, oh, it hurt my groin. And that's what happened. I started laughing. And then once it was announced he was out, I sent that video everywhere.
You know, and I guess there are players that are injuries prone and players that are less injury prone. But at the end of the day, it's just the luck of the draw. It's just terrible. You got some.
I've hurt my back taking a tea bag and putting it in the garbage. So
I broke a teeth on a seedless grape once. So things can happen.
Excuse me.
But all that and more on the Dog Show Drive. And by the way, as far as Florida Panthers go, you know that I had a hat and a shirt, or maybe a sweatshirt or quarter zip, before they won anything, back when they had 300 fans. So I just want to go on record for that. Of course, I also have every other team. Today I'm wearing Seattle.
Yeah, you got the Kraken. Yeah, you're just covering all your bases. I'm covering all bases. Like Don Cherry. Play that tape back. Years ago, I said this.
Well, I'm a man without a land. You know, I moved from New York, and I've been out here for 20 some years. And then we've got Rocky with the Blackhawks, our Beagle friend. And there's more people joining the Beagle intelligentsia, William. Not just Beaglers that you would think, but there are people as smart as Thomas H. Brown III from Watertown, New York, truly one of my heroes and mentors in life. Rumor has it that he may be joining the fold.
It took a long time to get here.
Man.
God, but thank God. Well, welcome him with open arms, Thomas.
Absolutely. Mr. Bradley, welcome to the world of Eagles. We have a lot going on, a lot of things coming up. Orlando's coming up in December. It doesn't seem... It just, again, didn't we just do this?
I know.
It's a whole year.
Yeah.
Time flies. The seminars are coming, and that's such a big thing for the sport, and it's an important part for the sport.
Are you going?
Yeah, I am. I'm taking some, I don't know, sporting hound seminars, I think. Mostly hound, maybe, for next application. But got to get going on that. You know, there was a Borzoi at this handling class that Brody was at, that Brody and I went to. In Maryland. I talked to him after. He's a hell of a dog, Will.
Yeah.
A hell of a dog. And he happens to be a dark tri. And she's had her struggles. Isn't it interesting how a breed can go through periods like that where certain colors can win and certain colors can't?
Well, I think we were talking about that. And my experience up here in Borzoi are definitely kicking John, right?
Yeah.
With Kusniga. And they had a very famous dog in the 70s, Desert Moon Mustache. He was the one dog in the country. He had a brother who was a dark tri as well, named Dalgarth. And in many people's opinion, he was the best of the two. And he just was not shown as much. I'm sure it's because of his color, because Mustache was that open, pretty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
interesting.
It is.
Yeah. And listen to me, I'm bringing over an open mark red and white Beagle. I'm going to catch the world on fire with that, right?
Yeah,
I
spoke to a handler that showed both those dogs for a little bit when Dick couldn't do it. And she tells me that if you paint them all the same color, Dalgarth was the best one, you know?
Yeah, I'll bet. And there's probably quite a few dogs that we can think of in the past that were correctly marked and correctly colored, just not fashionably.
Right.
You know, and by the way, a couple weeks ago, we used the words, well, that's not typical for that breed. We didn't mean breed type.
No.
And maybe that's the better word, is fashionable. Maybe it's more fashionable.
But I still, when I see something and I think if it brings up a memory in my head of a breed, it becomes the term typical pops out. And it has nothing to do with type. It's because it could be something wrong that's been typical for the last 20 years.
Right.
Typical. So
yeah, it's more fashionable, I think. And that's true in so many breeds. It's just hard to break through when you don't have the popular color, the fashion color. And that's too bad. And again, when you have judges collecting breeds to get multiple groups so they can get hired, those are the kinds of things that slip through the cracks.
Exactly. Like if we go back to our breed, the Beagle, and then 20 years ago when I was showing for Mr. Gear, we always hunted around for a blue one because he loved blue. He wanted to show a blue, and that just didn't happen back then. Well, the last couple of years, it's been somewhat fashionable.
It's a thing. People are all about them, you know? And then you've got judges now that are catching on going, oh, I know that blues are good. So now they're willing to put them up. Are they putting them up because they're blue? That's another question.
Exactly. I had a bitch a few years back, a blue bitch, and I put her on the table. More than once, a judge would ask me what color she was.
Yeah. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is blue tri, so it's a dilute, and you have to, it doesn't just pop up. You have to breed for it. They have to carry, someone has to carry for it, right? Same is true in the open mark beagles, bicolors, you know, red and whites and such. So there's, that's true. And so, and I think we touched on springers with freckles, heaven forbid, but you know, it's fashion that has set these trends. And a lot of that is comfort knowing that that's what always wins. So if you're an insecure judge in that breed, you're not going to probably want to be an explorer, and go find the dark tri boars away.
Well, let's face it. Like I can remember a springer breeder speaking to me about evaluating their litter. And because they didn't have that big shawl, they were pushed aside.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. That's a heck of a dog. I'm telling you, his feet are under his withers. And that's the way they should be. And you don't see it often if you look hard.
Short backed.
Yep.
It's amazing what's happening to certain breeds, but
yeah,
that's where I wish I missed the likes of, well, I can still call John, but Dick and John, because Dick would be at the shows and I'd ask the question, he'd answer it, you know.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that was the best part. And there's still people like that out there.
Oh, there is.
You just have to look a little harder, I guess.
People I've leaned on my entire life, that's all.
Yeah, sure, you have those people. Rick Beauchamp and I used to kick dogs around all the time. And we didn't always agree. We often did. But between the two of us, we'd be able to kick out to somebody else that we might. Yeah. There's certain people that, you know, I mean, Marippi's certainly a go-to in terriers, and of course the Greens and so many others. We're lucky to have grown up where I grew up. I have so many terrier people I can ask.
Oh, for sure. And then the people you overlooked, I think I said this a few weeks ago, I was set up with Clayton Harris. He's a wealth of knowledge of terriers. Oh, well, you think about who he worked for, though, between Ricky and Scott. He's obviously taking his job seriously. So,
Gosh, I am running a list in the back of my head of all these people that could be judging that are still handling or breeding or actively doing something else that would be super for specialties. Super.
Sure.
And handlers do, I'm not making this as a blanket statement, but handlers have a little bit of an edge when it comes to jumping out and just judging one time because they know so much about ring procedure.
Well, they've been in the ring so many times and so many different judging. They know most of the procedures. So
they know how to make cuts. They know everybody does it. And that's a big thing. It's a big thing.
It is.
Anyway, hey, speaking of beagles, because we do that a lot, who did Jay Beagle play for, Will? That should be our team.
Jay Beagle used to play for Washington.
He did, but he's still playing?
I don't know if he's still playing or not.
No. Why don't we all have Jay Beagle jerseys?
I don't know.
We should all wear them to the National next year. Find some old Capitals Beagle jersey. The best name ever for a hockey player. There is a magazine that I highly recommend. It's online. You can also get it in hard copy. And it's done by this incredible woman in Czech Republic, and Alice Kornikova. And I'm gonna apologize right now, Alice, because my Czech is very poor, as we all know. So I'm probably going to pronounce
it. And it might bounce.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
No, I'm just kidding.
Czech bounce.
They don't even use Czechs anymore. I don't think they do.
I don't think so. It's Alice Kornikova. Yeah, Kankakova, I believe you say it. And regardless of how I mispronounce your name, this is a brilliant woman who puts together this amazing, she does so many things, but she also has published on her own this Beagle magazine. And you can get it online. It's just incredible. It's just beautifully done. And I highly recommend for anybody looking for that wants to learn about beagles to get an international look at them and to see what you can learn by looking at different examples across the world. What a great idea, putting all the beagles from across the world together, because their pedigrees are together now.
Yeah, what's the name of the magazine?
I knew you were going to ask that. Beagles Worldwide or something like that. I'm going to find out for you, though, bud, because I don't want to mess this up. It is called Show Beagles Worldwide.
Yeah.
Show Beagles Worldwide. And the October issue is now out. It's beautiful. There's great articles, great photos, great ads. So you can see just the basic outlines and shapes that we're seeing from different countries around the world. And I do see some trends, Will. I do see some trends, how they're shifting back and forth from America, for sure. Eastern Europe, and wherever else. So, yeah, good stuff to look at. Show Beagles Worldwide. Thank you, Alice. Anything else you got, Will?
I don't think so. I think we went through most of it. No, I think we covered everything that we planned on covering.
Yeah. Well,
maybe you said Show Beagles Worldwide made me think of Prestige Worldwide. Now that's for a few of our viewers to laugh at that one.
Okay.
And you know who you are, Prestige Worldwide.
Sorry. Empresario, too. It's a great word and a great name. Because you are an impresario, William.
With one S.
Yes, one S. Why?
That's how it's spelled, one S. But I get so many people spelling it with two S's.
Oh, do you really? That's impresario.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to do it. Westminster. That drives me nuts. Westminster.
Toronto.
Toronto. We can't say that?
No, it's Toronto.
All one term.
Toronto.
Just like
Toronto.
Not Toronto.
Toronto. We had The Rock was at the last game, and he even said it right. He said, "Welcome, Toronto."
Well, we've got.
But he used to play professional football in Canada. Did you know that?
So he would. I did know that. I don't know why, but I did know that.
About that.
I watched some stupid biopic on Sunday morning. New Orleans. No, it's Nolans, I think, or something.
Nolans.
Whatever. I don't know. I'm still trying to.
Italian. Get... That always drives my mother crazy. Oh, I like some Italian. Is it from Italy?
It drives me nuts, too.
Oh, my mother just blew it off the edge.
And by the way, here in the Midwest, Italian, they say. And they say rough instead of roof. They say asphalt, even though there's no H at that part of the word. They say asphalt. They throw an extra H after the S. No.
Oh.
It's not made, yeah.
Mom would be just going over the edge.
Italian. That's pretty good. Okay, there you go. Well, you know, and there's a valet, and then there's a Valard, then there's a Versailles, and there's a Versailles. So depends on if you're in Kentucky or France, I guess. Anyway, young William, it's been a pleasure. I'm packing to head up back to the great ring in the sky over there in California. So we're looking forward to flying through the friendly skies and then being, it is amazing, right? You're here, you have lunch in Grand Rapids, and then you're, you have breakfast in Grand Rapids, and then lunch in California and Sonoma. So yeah, it's all good.
It's a glamorous life we lead, Wayne.
I know. We're just amazing, Mara.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm in my basement in my pajamas. What do you got going on there, Will? Is that a robe?
No, it's a sweater. It's just not a robe. It's my sweater, my morning sweater. But I also see an hour sitter over there that's like, all right, it's time for my bath.
Here we go. All right. See you next week, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the shows. Enjoy your dogs. And most of all, love one another.
Stay safe. Stay safe, guys. We'll see you next week.
Party on, Bert.
No way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered
glass. Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Thanks, Ernie.
Oh, we didn't mention hockey either. Isn't that unbelievable, though?
Put that in, Doc. Man, I want to see it on a blooper anywhere.